The word of God given to us today is Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 to 16. Please turn to page 1287 of the Old Testament. I will now read the word of God. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Amen. I will be delivering the sermon today, as Pastor Lita Chao is suffering from cold and fatigue over overworking over the past few weeks during the Holy Week and the Lent. One of the fellows asked me after the service last week if I chose Jonah's crisis on the boat as my topic because of the Sewol ferry tragedy. Well, I haven't deliberately chosen this topic. I was following the beautiful tradition of our 100th anniversary memorial church of sequence preaching, and it just happened that the sermon topic and the social state coincided. So I deliver the sermon that God has prepared for us today, again in hope that it will surely be delivered to someone who really needs the message from God. We have read the first chapter of the book of Jonah in four different sessions. While reading the first chapter, you come to realize that the roles of the missionary and the foreigner have been reversed in general. God has given his order to Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah starts his journey, and his destination should have been Nineveh. But in chapter 1, Jonah was in the wild sea at the bottom of a boat, tossing on the waves instead of being in Nineveh, and was eventually thrown inside the water. The person who was carrying God's duty, a mission on his shoulders, was turning his back to the order, while instead the foreign sailors, who had no idea of God and were interested in nothing but making profits, were reverently abiding to God, whom Jonah had refused to obey. Such reverse execution of a mission can be seen in today's reality as well. Missionaries who receive the invaluable calling, who should be concentrating on the work assigned by God, are swept into the sea by the huge secular waves, the waves of materialistic greed, physical lust, and honor. On the other hand, new believers, just like those nameless sailors who had no idea who Jesus was, fear God, witness changes in their lives, make decision, and take a vow as soon as they meet with God. Which is why new believers are confused and baffled when they see such phenomenon. Matthew chapter 20, verse 16 writes, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Long faith does not mean being faithful to the callings. And being new to faith does not mean you can wait passively for something to happen. In a life of faith, how much you devote your heart to God and how you obey and practice in the Lord's will matters more. The captain, the sailors, and even the passengers of the boat woke Jonah, who was asleep under the deck of the boat, accusingly chanting, "How can you sleep?" and asked him, "Who are you?" Jonah was fast asleep until the captain came to wake him up, even while the ship was shaking fiercely from the storm and noisy from people yelling and trying to come up with emergency measures. It would have been normal for Jonah to jump out of bed asking, "What happened? What have I been doing? I shouldn't have been sleeping." People around him were more furious because he got up only after others woke him up. We must remember that if we do not wake up on our own, then the situation will wake us up. In that case, I will not be the only one suffering, but the people around me will also suffer and be harmed. If there is no change, even amidst such uncomfortable situation, it is no use being awake if you do not properly analyze the cause of an accident or catastrophe, fix the system and start anew, then an uncontrollable and irretrievable downfall will fall upon us. We need to change before the big and fearful judgment day arrives. The harder the situation, it is better to analyze the causes and come up with fundamental cures and measures in objective rationality rather than being emotional. Jonah did not realize the severity of the situation when he just woke up. It was only after the sea became even more chaotic and the lot fell on Jonah when he felt guilty and was reminded of God's command he so wanted to forget. He felt the hand of God holding on to him when he sought after his freedom for his ambition and took it as his warning. a natural phenomenon, like a storm, can always be considered coincidental. But relate this with yourself in the eyes of faith, and this becomes a religious incident. Jonah would have been able to protest, "I don't know. I have rarely been on a boat. It is my first trip to Tarshish. And what does this storm on a sea have to do with me?" Had he been insensitive and stubborn till the last minute. But Jonah reveals himself. Obeying to the Lord's voice he heard from inside his mind. Verse 9. He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. A Christian must be honest before God and the people in the moment of crisis. We must obey to the voice of God we hear inside ourselves. Jonah, at least, did not respond untruthfully to the voice of conscience. The problems we all can see in today's world is that we lack honesty in every part of the society. A Christian living to the customs influenced by secular ideas is no use. But if we live an honest life based on God's words, the society will change and will have spiritual influences. That is what Jesus called it, the roles of light and salt. The key words, the most important words that lead the story of sinking crisis in the middle of the sea, are afraid and worship. The original word for afraid and worship in Hebrew is yare, and is shown 4 times in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. It appears for the first time in verse 4, when the storm hits the sea. All the sailors were afraid. Here, the original word for afraid in Hebrew is written as wairu, which means afraid to the point of being at a loss of what to do. The second time this word appears is when the lot falls on Jonah, in his confession after everyone starts questioning him. Verse 9. He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Jonah defined himself as a man who worships the Lord, meaning a man who yare the Lord, or who is afraid of the Lord. The expression may be simple and short, but it's a clear answer and is right to the point. This is an expression that connotes that Jonah, in fact, was not afraid of Jehovah, thought easy of the Lord, and ran away from him. But now that he sees, it was all wrong, and he repents of it. And it also means that what's happening on the sea is directly related to Jonah's God. The sailors respond immediately upon hearing this. Verse 10. This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. This terrified them, and this phrase, it uses the superlative form of yare, wairu. This fear is different from the first one. the vague fear coming from confusion. This fear has a definite subject which leads to the questions, what have you done, and what should we do to make it right to God? Moreover, the original Hebrew word used for them in the phrase, this terrified them, is enoshi, and this means a mortal being that is due to die in contrast to the Almighty God. This shows the state of how all sailors desperately feel the helplessness and the limits that cannot be dealt with human powers. They were petrified upon realizing that Jehovah God, whom Jonah has introduced to them, was responsible for their life and death in the fierce storm. The words afraid and worship means the fear that comes from an understanding the limits and incompetence of humans, the creations of God, while respecting the authority and magnificence of God. The Bible tells us several times to worship Jehovah, and in Malachi chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, it writes, "My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin." It is promised that people who revere God will be given life, enjoy peace, and true instruction will be in his mouth. He will also live in satisfaction, become honest, be freed from sin, as well as freeing many others from sin. You can earn wisdom and good fortune when you worship God. On the contrary, people who do not revere the Lord constantly lie. The foreign sailors and the passengers who came to fear God accused and asked Jonah, "What have you done?" We must listen to God's voice speaking to us before the world's question that pierces through the conscience of the believers. Jonah realized that God was chasing after him and that there is nowhere to hide after meeting the wind and waves in the middle of the sea, after the captain woke him up, and after the lot had fallen on him. So he decided not to avoid him anymore and come face to face with God. So he decided, now that he gave up on his plans, he somewhat came to his senses and grew wiser. When people are absorbed in their greed and plans, they cannot see any path. But emptying the mind will show you the way. receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit will make you follow God's will instead of your own. Empty your mind and fill the empty space with God's words. So agonizing on your own sins and self-denials are natural phenomena that happen when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Being sensitive towards sins and denying your righteousness is a proper reflection and attitude of a mature believer. Jonah realized that running away from God's orders was wrong and that the people on the boat were facing danger because of him. He realized that if he, the cause of the crisis, changed his mind, then all those passengers and sailors will be freed from the danger. Jonah decides to accept this crisis as his responsibility and says, "Throw me into the sea." Verse 12. "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." He honestly admitted that it was all his fault and stepped forward to take responsibility. The phrase, "throw me into the sea," reminds me of a story I heard back in high school. A ship with passengers from all over the world was wrecked, and 23 people climbed on the lifeboat of a 20-people capacity. The ship starts sinking, and 3 people had to get off. But there were a lot of children and women on the boat. First, an English man from the country of gentlemen stood up and shouted, "God save the Queen," and jumped into the sea. Then, an American man stood up and shouted, "Star Spangled Banners," and then jumped into the sea. Lastly, a Korean man stood up and yelled, "Republic of Korea," and then threw a Japanese man off the boat and into the sea. Back then, a young middle school student, I have laughed my head off. It was funny, and it was pretty satisfying as well. But come to think of it now, it's not something that should have ever happened. Apart from the fact that it is already not acceptable to throw another person, I unconsciously had the thought that I can do whatever to someone I do not like. We sometimes are readily prepared to throw the subject of our hatred and anger in the time of crisis. We come to realize that it is immature to think that we need to seek revenge on people who gave us a hard time or harass other people and only empathize on things that are good for ourselves. Now, it is time for us to take lead to seek world peace and become mature so that Koreans will earn the trust and faith that we will be at the forefront to sacrifice and yield when the world is suffering from a global disaster. Jonah voluntarily said he will give himself in the midst of crisis. "Pick me up and throw me into the sea." It is hard to find anyone who confesses it is my fault and takes the responsibility during a hard time in today's reality. Even though Jonah told them to throw me into the sea, the sailors tried their best to overcome the difficult situation using every technical methods they knew. Verse 13. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Unless the fundamental cause is resolved, all human efforts will come to a nothing. Only then did the people started crying out and praying to Jonah's God, the absolute being. Verse 14. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. As soon as Jonah was thrown into the sea calmed down. Then a crucial change occurred in the souls of the people left on the boat. The men greatly feared the Lord. It became clear that God became the subject of fear for the foreigners, the subject of worship. Jonah's confession of faith, who worships God, has become the confession of faith of the sailors and the passengers. The phrase where it says, "They all made vows and offered a sacrifice," shows that they will keep on worshiping God, believe in Him, put their faith into action, and entrust their lives to God. Jonah's self-denial, voluntary obedience, and sacrifice saved all the foreigners and enabled them to believe in God. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24-25 writes, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it.'" Eventually, Jonah became the path of salvation for the foreigners on the boat to Tarshish, just as God has wished. And throwing himself into the sea saved other people's lives as well as his own. Let me apply today's gospel in our lives in reality. First, we need to be awake in the time of crisis and do best in the works given to us. Let's decide to at least love the group that share a common destiny with me. The Seoul ferry accident made us realize that we are a sympathetic community that shares pain and sorrow. We need to sympathize the pain and agony of our nation. Renew the will to overcome the crisis by refusing to be swept away in sorrow, but stepping forward and getting over the pain. We should not avoid the deep-rooted corrupted structures and the serious problems in every corner of the society. The 3 days Jonah was inside the stomach of a huge fish was a symbolic incident of his own death on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Jonah's incident depicts a self-sacrificial spirit that became the antitype of the self-sacrificial spirit of Jesus on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, Jesus was crucified on the cross, suffering from all the pains for ourselves. And he comes back to life. Accepting Jesus as our master, he will take on everything from us. A vague sacrificial spirit is an ideological concept, so it is easy to say, but it is not easy to actually practice self-sacrifice in our daily lives. This is because it is an act of loss after loss. The headquarters of Christian Ethics Movement of Korea, which our church is sponsoring on a regular basis, has recently published a small booklet called 30 Inconvenient Recipes for Happiness. It tells us that it's the spirit of Bible and the practicing of sacrificial spirit of Jesus for us to endure a little loss for the common good, and to make the lives of others a little more convenient. Choosing to suffer a loss in an uncertain situation is what a Christian disciple must do. The booklet also introduces an example of our 100th anniversary memorial church. Our church has chosen to endure some inconvenience from the day of establishment. It is an easy job to pay off a service company to clean all the buildings and the church. But it is only possible for the management volunteer team to clean the 22 service areas to prepare for the divine dissipation in the realm of God if they give up their personal lives on Saturday afternoons all year long. Also, the community service center is rented for free to community organizations and NGOs and others for their meetings during the weekdays. It is not easy job for our church, one of the churches that have the smallest administrative staff to attending fellow ratio in Korea, to open church areas to the public and manage it. Managing and introducing the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Museum in Yongin, the two representative holy lands of the Korean Protestant history, are both conducted under the cares and efforts of the numerous volunteer workers. The total number of adult attendance to the last Easter Sunday worship was 8,720 people, apart from the 1,227 church school attendants. We had four services on Sundays, meaning average of 2,180 people have attended the one service. The usual number of people that attend the service in the main worship hall is around 541. So this means that average of 1,637 people have attended the service via video. In other words, 75% of the attendants were not able to enter the main worship hall and had to scatter in 22 different service areas to suffer the inconvenience of watching the service through videos. Enduring inconvenience is possible because we have our own mission philosophy to reduce dissipation for the more meaningful and more quantitative foreign aid and volunteers, preparation to serve as the guardian of Yangwajing Graveyard and propagate Christianity until the 200th year, and the voluntary participation of our fellow believers. However, looking at Jonah's voluntary sacrifice makes us realize that we need to be more gladly determinative for much deeper service. As a Christian, what kind of inconvenience am I enduring? And what kind of actual sacrifice am I offering at our work, in school, at home, or in the society? Apostle Paul's life of traveling all across the Mediterranean, Asia, Macedonia, and Rome to serve the souls as a servant, giving up his privileges as the apostle. The missionaries lying on the hills of Yangwajin who gave up their stable lives at home to come to this alien land of Joseon were all the determinations of voluntary sacrifice and service. Today is the Family Sunday. The starting point of our faith needs to be stemmed from our families whom we stay and live so close with. We all need to practice Jonah's spirit of honesty and voluntary sacrifice with our children, with our family. From parents to the children and children to the parents should bear the cross of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, just as Jonah honestly admitted his wrongdoings and offered himself to take responsibility after jeopardizing the lives of the people on the boat, let us live honestly in this society and spread salvation to our neighbors by practicing the love of Christ on the cross. Let us endure self-sacrifice and voluntary inconvenience from the smallest things. Let everyone practice serving and sacrificing upon welcoming the Family Sunday, and allow the Lord's sacrificial love fill our family. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.